If you've followed this podcast for some time, you might know that pricing and money are some of my favorite topics. It's also one of the most challenging parts of having a business. And today I'm speaking with Jane Goodrich about pricing. I'm so excited and I hope this is going to be educational for you as well. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, a podcast all about business tips, inspiration, and confidence building. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, the host of this podcast, and after over a decade as a photographer, I now help talented photographers run sustainable businesses. And for full transparency, you should know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I will probably mention some of those in this episode. Hi, Jane. I'm really excited to talk with you today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I love the information that you have on sustainability and just how calm you are about giving the information too. So I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. That's really nice. And we're going to talk about pricing and mindset and a lot of really important, necessary things today. But let's start off by talking about you. Who are you and what's your background?
Who am I? That's a big question. No. So I'm Jane Goodrich and I have been a professional photographer full-time for 14 years. I'm actually not focused on weddings. I do newborn and family photographers. I did one wedding. More power to you guys. I did one and I was done. So give me the babies and the kids. I'm, you know, we all have our things that we're passionate about. And I'm originally from England, and like during the pandemic and a little bit before that, I really became passionate about helping photographers price themselves. And through mentoring, I've mentored for, you know, close to, you know, 8-9 years. I don't know. I have a kid that's 9, so it's probably longer than that. Maybe it's 10. And then more recently, I launched a software platform that helps newer photographers run their business and really help guide them a little bit with their coaching and the pricing and how to actually run an effective business, a sustainable business, actually. It's very hard, as you are well aware. Photographers don't really have that, you know, oh, we're going to go through training. Oh, we're going to, this is a great workflow. This is that. So you're piecemealing it together. So we're really just trying to combine that with a software platform, just six best practices in the industry. And it's actually been going really well. So
brilliant. Oh, that sounds like something that's well needed. I mean, as you said, most of us either kind of fall into photography for some reason or even go through training for it, but hardly anyone learns the business side, how to run a business, how to price and all that. And it's, I can't even begin to tell you how unfortunate that is.
It's very unfortunate.
Because most photographers are really missing out because they're so focused on the photography aspect, the artistic aspect, which of course is really important, but it's not the thing that's going to help you to make a living from photography.
Right. And there's a whole, you know, starving artist mentality. But I also think that as an industry, we don't talk enough about pricing. Mm-hmm. You know, when we say, oh, charge your worth, and you're like, oh, well, what is that worth?
Yeah.
You know, like I ended up like asking every single association in the world how to calculate prices, and they don't have anything. So I created a calculator that really helps photographers calculate the prices because we've done time studies. Because, you know, and you're well aware that when you start a photography business, it's not like you're, I'm going to give an example of a hairdresser. You know, you can go to school to be a hairdresser, you can go to school to be a photographer, but the added benefit of being a hairdresser or a hairstylist is you apprentice. And that is really where you learn this is how you handle clients. This is how you price. This is how you, you know, and they do have a lot of, you know, companies that are helping them with their pricing business models too. But I just really think that, you know, as an industry, we don't really have that cohesiveness to start. And I don't know if we necessarily want that. We don't really want to go to the government and ask for a permit and, you know, get all the licensing. But I think that we can really just try as a, which is why I launched, you know, Pixello, was because I can do one-on-one coaching, I can do group coaching, but my goal was to like really just try to reach the masses as quick as possible to help those photographers that quit their job, worked to death for 3 years and made no money. That's just not what I like. I feel like that's, it can be prevented easily.
Exactly. Yeah. Because what I'm all about, and I'm sure you think a lot of the same, is we need to have a sustainable business. We need to have a business that's gonna be there for us and not something that's gonna be our whole lives, basically. So what are your thoughts on having a sustainable business?
So it's interesting you say that. And I think you can come at it from two different angles. When you're first starting out, I think the mindset of, you know, a sustainable business is something that in an ideal world, you are working, you know, in this photography industry that we are now, you're working and you're building your business, you're building your awareness, you're building your client list, but you're also working. So you're actually building that sustainability, because I did quit too soon, I will tell you that. But I also priced myself correctly. But in this market where the pricing is so rampantly low or just disproportionate to what will actually make someone an income, you can't actually start a business that is sustainable really without an investment, you know, and the pressure of going full time really quickly, you then lead to low prices and all this stuff. And then secondarily, things take time, right? It takes time to build a business. It takes investment. So sometimes if you were to go to a bank and get a business loan, you know, you can hire a website designer, you can hire a marketing agency, you can hire this, that, and the other. This is what normal businesses do. But as photographers, highly recommend you have a little bit of extra income while you're building your business. So to sustain yourself while you're building it is different than once you've gotten your client base, your SEO, your Google, your website, you know, perfectly designed so that client will, you know, book you and you've got your systems in place, you've got your workflow, then that needs to be more of a sustainable business. So it just really depends. But like for me, sustainable business is I bring in an income from my business that is regular income, that is, you know, almost not guaranteed, but like I've built myself enough of a brand that people know me and I will get referrals and my website has amazing SEO and I'm going to get enough inquiries. That sustains me to have my pricing where I actually can have a life. Mm-hmm. And so whether or not sustainable is you can replace your current income fine, or, you know, whether you can do this on the side where, you know, you can balance motherhood, you know, whatever it is, it means different things to different people. I'm sorry I didn't answer that exactly like succinctly what it meant for me, but I think it means different things for different people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I really love what you said about how it might mean something else in the beginning, because mm-hmm. that's something that a lot of photographers don't necessarily think about. It's like, oh, I want to start this business, but I want to do everything myself. I don't want to invest in anything. I want everything to be just to take its time. And then it's going to take a really long time. And no other business would start out that way. You'd need that first investment to just get started. And I think it's really nice that you pointed that out.
I will say that actually, I don't think that they know that they need to do everything on the, like, there's a mm-hmm. difference between being like, you know, we make it look so easy on Instagram. We make it look great. We make it look glamorous. Everyone's having fun. You don't see the wedding photographer who's like collapsed on the floor Sunday because they can't move, you know, and, you know, they're tired all the week and then editing. We don't show the back end work enough mm-hmm. as an industry of what it actually takes to be a photographer. So new photographers come into it thinking, oh, this is great. I don't spend 60 hours of editing. I don't mm-hmm. have to do social media. I don't have to do a website. So I think also it is a little bit a lack of awareness on their part that this is the reason why you need to really price yourself correctly from the start in order to invest. And what I recommend, the first person I recommend investing in is an accountant, bottom line. And, you know, and then if you're great at website, fine. But if you also, I'm not the best at, I've messed up on my Google. I've done way too many things on getting blocked by Google. I recommend having a website designer that knows SEO, local SEO, not national, because I made that mistake. And those two things will really help you because one, your account's going to help you price yourself. Your website, I'm not going to go on Facebook and Instagram yet, but your website will help build, you can work with a designer that can help you build your brand, but start getting that SEO. SEO for me, I'm obsessed with it.
Me too.
If you get found by Google, it's much more important than Instagram and Facebook. And the time is money, right? Mm-hmm. So the time that you have on Facebook or on Instagram versus, hey, I'm going to update my website. I'm going to write a quick blog post. I'm going to, you know, update my Google profile. Completely different. Oh, and by the way, you own it versus you could actually get shut down on Instagram. And I've seen that quite a lot this year, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And they lose all their followers. So yeah, definitely price yourself correctly from the start.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. But let's say that the person listening hasn't done that.
Yep.
Their prices are too low. Whether it's that they're too low in terms of making what they want to have the life they want, or if it's just too low and they are seeing there's more potential. In most of us, there's something holding us back from increasing our prices. I can feel it. I'm sure you've felt it. I'm sure pretty much everyone listening have a fear of increasing their prices at some point.
Everybody.
So how can we do it? How can we have the right mindset to just increase the prices?
First of all, recognize that pricing is so difficult. I mean, I love talking about pricing, but when it comes to me raising my prices, I want to puke, right? Number one, you can always go down. So just take that off. You're like, I'm going to raise my prices. I'm going to give it a month. If it doesn't work, or give it 2 weeks, guarantee. Anyone that I've mentored that has raised their prices has never gone down, but they love the fact that they're like, yeah, you're right. I can always go down or I can always discount. If someone's like, you know, but I think for me, where it really helps people is knowing the numbers, right? So knowing actually what costs you have, what time it takes you to run your business, because I have had people saying, oh yeah, I work 10 hours. And I'm like, oh no, I was just doing that while I was watching television. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I was doing that while I was watching the kids. I'm like, but that's work, mm-hmm. right? That's you not being present with your kids or you not being present with your husband. So just because it's fun at this point in early on in your career, it's fun editing. Mm-hmm. When you're not getting paid for that time in a couple of years, you're going to resent it. Yeah. And that's when you sort of get burnout. But the one thing that I say is know your numbers, know your pricing, and unfollow, if you can, any other people in your area that are unprofitable or at a... What you need to do is follow that, you know, for me, I'm a newborn photographer. Follow that newborn photographer that's in my area that's charging $4,000. Go out and find those people. And people are like, no one's in my area that's charging that. Guaranteed they are. Guaranteed they're charging a profitable rate. You also might have, they've been in business maybe 20 years, but you know what? They don't care about Google because they've built up their, you know, their webs. They don't care about Facebook. One, they... probably not on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok because they're older, but they've also built up their brand and their relationships with the wedding vendors and this, that, and the other. So that is the one excuse. People are like, no one charges that around here. Yes, they do. You just don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't updated my website in 4 years, 5 years. I'm sure I rank low in my area for newborn and family photographers, but guess what? I don't need to update it because I have a client base. I have a great referral network that my clients refer me, and I have a great email list. And so I don't need it. So please, please, please understand that, yes, you can charge that. And people do charge it in your area.
Yeah. And I think it's important to just be aware of the fact that a lot of the people you're following, they're not charging profitable rates.
No.
They don't have a profitable business, and they're not the ones that you should look to. Look at those who are profitable. Look at those who are charging what you want to charge or more.
Higher.
Yeah.
It's actually quite interesting because, you know, I've spoken to photographers that have been in business in 14 years and they still struggle raising their rates. And one was a newborn photographer. And I just sent her three links of these photographers ranging between $2,500 to $4,000. And this is newborn photography, guys. This isn't weddings. This is a newborn session, digitals only. And she was like, wow. And I was like, yeah. But that's why these people have been in business, and you're having to get a second job because you haven't been pricing yourselves. And so the real thing is to really figure out why you want to do this too. Like, do you want to do it to make zero money? You know, do you want to make nothing at the end of your tax season? Because by the first year, you'll get the tax. You'll be like, oh, I'm building my business. I was just, you know, starting out. Second year, you're like, oh, well, I invested in XYZ. Third year, you're like, actually, I'm not making any money from this. And so knowing that, I mean, I have mentor people literally making $0 and losing money each year.
Yeah.
So if you don't value yourself enough to make at least minimum wage, because you also get, I'm not good enough to charge. Okay, you are good enough to charge. If you looked at my work for charging $1,000 a photo shoot in 2010, you would definitely think I couldn't ever get a client. And I did, and I got repeat clients. It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's they like my work. They paid it. That was the price that they paid for it. So, and especially wedding photographers, you are booking out 2 years in advance. You need to raise your rates. You need to calculate your rates. Wedding photographers of all people need to be profitable. Like, have profitable rates at the beginning. You know what? You're first starting out, you've got like 10 weddings under you and you feel like, oh, I need more experience. Fine, give them a 10% discount. It's always great to have those prices on there, and then you have, you know, a discount, because if someone then books you for 2026, then you're not unprofitable.
Yeah, because I think often we find ourselves thinking that if I just had a little bit lower prices, then more people would book me. And then it's like, but there's no point in having those lower prices and having people book you if that means you have to work way too much to make ends meet. Because you have to be profitable. That's where it all begins.
Yeah. Or you're working more for nothing. I mean, I just see these prices and I'm like, you're not making any money. Because also right now, when you're first starting out, you don't realize in 3 years, you're going to replace your camera, you're going to replace your computer. That's $7,000. Where's that money coming from? Mm-hmm. That money needs to come from your shoots right now.
Yeah.
So you think that you're making a little bit money, but you really aren't longer term,
yeah.
You know, and it's an investment in your business, but you're not the cheaper one. You're not the expensive one. Then you're like, I'm going to increase my prices gradually. I wouldn't recommend doing that. Mm-hmm. Just get to your profitable prices.
Yeah.
I will say, don't go crazy. I mean, on my software, we have a great calculator that anybody can use. Just sign up for a free trial, pixello.com, and use the calculator. What I wouldn't recommend is somebody coming in there and making negative $20,000 this year and be like, oh, I'm going to make $200,000. After taxes. Okay, let's be realistic about how much you can earn, because then people are like, well, I can't charge $20,000 a wedding. And you're like, okay, so let's be realistic about your price, what you need to earn. And, you know, I found that people that on a platform that I've mentored that are like, I am in Iowa. I'm just using Iowa as an example. And I need to make $45,000 a year. And when I ran the numbers through the calculator, the prices were exactly where they needed to be. And she went from, you know, for family, she went from 150 to 750. And she couldn't believe it the time someone booked. And I was like, yeah, there you go. You've got the sustainable income that you need. Mm-hmm. So same thing with, like, you know, other people, like, yes, why are you giving away all your digitals when you can have a package for 10 and then upsell?
Exactly.
And then assess how it goes. If you're so price conscious or sensitive, you can, you know, always not necessarily offer that $5,000 album. You know, you can offer a shorter package or offer the elopement weddings, mm-hmm. you know, just making sure that you're not then editing 60 hours for a wedding.
Exactly.
People are paying over $1,000 for family shoots and, you know, you're too cheap for them. But then you're too expensive for those ones that want to go to a Groupon and not be, you know, they want to go to the cheapest person. So you're better off actually raising your prices, focusing on how you get those clients. You know, think about like, okay, where does that client live? Where do they go? You know, where do they, who is that person? Make an ideal client profile and really think on it. But it's not all pricing, right? So your brand is not pricing. It's the experience that people have with you. It's the photographs that you have. It's like where you're showing up. It's your brand awareness. If you're showing up everywhere and people are saying, oh my gosh, she's the best. I love her. She's great with kids. You know, I love the photographs. We use her every year. It doesn't matter what price you're at, right? Or like a wedding photographer, you know, getting a million reviews on Google. Like, this person is the best. Like, I absolutely love them, you know. And it's hard when you're starting out and you don't have those reviews, but they're not booking you because of your pricing. When I first started, I used to absolutely, I think I probably cried. I'll admit it. I like to cry. I'm a crier. But I would get an inquiry, you know, as I was first building, you know, my awareness. I call it my awareness stage, you know, like marketing 4 P's. It's like I'm in the brand awareness stage. And I would get a lead. I get so excited about the lead and I'd send my information. I'm like, you know, tailor it and be like, oh my gosh, I've got a booking. I already thought I had a booking. And then they didn't book. And I'd like cry. And my twin sister's actually in sales and she's like, you just got to get more inquiries. It's a numbers game. And I was really, I still get upset when I don't, I just don't cry and curl in the water. But like the focusing on like, how can I get the volume of inquiries up mm-hmm. to let those numbers not annoy me when they don't say no. So I found I would probably, you know, have a good 20% ratio. Right. If it was a certain market where they found me on Google, it was close to 100%, you know, booking. But if it was from an Instagram, yeah, maybe it's like 1% booking. So you start monitoring of like where these people are coming from, where they're booking, and then you can really tailor your marketing based on that. So I was like, I don't understand why they're coming from this one town in my area and they just love me. So guess what? I ran Google ads in that town. Mm. The ROI, the return on investment for that was amazing.
Yeah.
So, because that's what happens is you value yourself mm-hmm. and that comes through.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it comes through on an email. It comes through on your confidence. It comes through on, you know, like, wow, I'm going to spend money on my marketing because it's in business, you know, and framing it. It's not a job. It's a business is helpful too. Mm.
I think a reason why we're scared of raising prices is because we think, what if that means I'm not going to get any more clients? What if this is the time no one is going to book me? What can we do if that's what we're thinking?
So take a look at your bank account, right? I'm being serious. Like, take a look at your bank account. How much money are you bringing in? And so at your current prices, probably, yes, you're getting the extra cash, but in terms of in your cash flow, in your business over a year, you're really not profitable. Like, so look at it. If you're a mom, you're like, okay, if I take that job, I have to hire a babysitter XYZ time. That is X amount of money. Like, what are you missing out on? And I've also mentored people that are like, well, I'm not booking now. Why would I book if I raised my prices? What's the harm? Well, if you're not booking now, raise your prices. Hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So raise your prices. And there's one woman, and I actually had to give her a deadline. It was like, by Sunday at 5:00, you haven't booked in 3 months. So please, just. She raised her prices on the Sunday night, and by Friday, she had got 3 bookings. Because it's the mindset. It's also people look at your work and they value it because there is something where you're like, a little too cheap.
Yeah, that's true.
you know, and it's also like, you know, for family photography, you know, it's still not an insignificant amount of money, a $400 session, but are you like, oh, am I going to risk it? Or am I going to invest and I know I'm going to get great images?
That's true.
So I'm going to have to get great images again. You know, I'm going to have to pay twice.
Mm.
You know, you have to think. And also, guess what? You can reduce them. It's not, you know, you're not set in stone.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteed you won't.
That's a good point. But do you think you usually have to change something else if you change your prices, if you increase them? Say that you're, okay, so I have a profitable business. I'm making enough money, but I want to work less.
Okay.
Not because I have to, but I want to. Can I double my prices and not change other things usually? Or does usually a price increase come with a change of brand, a change of ideal client?
Well, I think if you have a profitable business and you already have clients right now, what I would do is I would look through my current client base and know who would have bought that package if I'd had it.
Mm.
And then go after that. Yeah, I mean, if you want to work less and make more, you could actually run ads targeted at that audience that is like, okay, well, my audience is a working mom. She doesn't have time to, like, you know, research. Okay, great. I'm going to do Google ads and I'm going to own that one keyword, exact keyword, and I know I'm going to have a return on investment on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are like, okay, I'm a wedding photographer and I really want to raise my prices. I'm doing okay now, making money, but I'd like to, like you said, work less.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in your relationship network that has other clients, not yours, because you're charging, you know, $5,000 and you want to charge $10,000. Oh, those four stylists, those four planners, wedding planners, have a lot of clients that are doing XYZ weddings, and they're, you know, those photographers are charging $15,000. Okay, well, I'm going to take this person out to lunch. You can't just raise your prices really without doing it. I don't think you need to change your brand. I mean, you can maybe change some of your imagery to cater to those clients, but you know, I'd look at not ripping out all of the infrastructure that you've built so far. If you're profitable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you change genres and you're like, oh, now I want to do XYZ. Yeah, totally different story.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're, I'm a profitable wedding photographer, I'm this, I would look at who would pay that. All of the locations that have high-end clients. And that's what I would do, is just really hone in on that ideal client. And then where do they get married? Where are they researching it? Who are they hiring for hair and makeup? Who are they hiring for DJ or a band?
Mm.
That's what I do.
Do you think it's a confidence thing? Do you think in general, we need to have more confidence in order to raise our prices?
Absolutely. We all do. Okay. We all do. You know, we get into this business because we love photography and we love the art and we love people. Or, you know, if you're a product photographer, maybe not so much. But, like, you know, getting into this is not for the, like, great, I've got to run my QuickBooks and talk to my accountant right now. It's not. So it's, I don't say it's a lack of confidence. I mean, sometimes it's confidence, but sometimes it's like, I don't want to deal with it. Just don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It's just not interesting to me. I'm going to ostrich. I'm going to, like, stick my head in the sand. I don't want to talk about it. And I don't know sometimes if that's confidence. Like, I don't know if it's not just not interested in it, you know, and, mm-hmm. But sometimes it's confidence, but sometimes it's like, oh, I'll deal with that later type of thing.
Yeah, just something that we're putting off because it's something new and different.
Yeah, or uninteresting.
Yeah, maybe. But as a photographer, I've done weddings for many years. I don't anymore, but I've done it for such a long time. And to me, it's pretty clear that as a photographer, I do so much more than just take photos. And I'm sure that's true of any kind of genre of photography.
Yeah.
But how can I make sure that the value that I give my clients, that that's reflected in my pricing and, I don't know, all my packages, everything that I do when I talk about it?
Well, I think one of the things that you can talk about, so for me, you know, I'll give you an example as a newborn photographer. You know, I think when I first started out, I started, you know, describing to people like when we're on the shoot, right? It's going to take, you know, I do about 20 hours of editing of a baby, you know, so it's going to take me 3 weeks, maybe four, depending on, you know, and if the baby has like skin acne, like, you know, baby acne, looks like their face is on fire, I'm going to tell them it's all, you know, going to take a little bit longer. But you have to explain the process and you have to kind of outline what it is involved. And if you're a wedding photographer and you talk about like how, you know, you maybe you meet with them, or maybe it's talking about like you hand edit every image, or you know, and they know that that's time intensive. I think the more that photographers can talk about what goes into running their business, as well as what goes into running their shoot and prepping for the shoot, I'm going to be there on the day and this on the other, and the amount of hours, and explaining the fact that it's not just, you know, $500 an hour. It's, I've got 2 weeks after that of editing, and then I've got XYZ, and then I've done this beforehand. Like, don't be afraid of talking about the work that's not photographing, because, you know, that's where I think a lot of photographers don't realize that people want to know. People actually want to know. Do they think that you just come click a button, then click, you know, like they do on Instagram, click a filter and then give them the images? No, they don't. They want to see the behind the scenes and like, wow, like it's taking them so long. The reason, and it helps, because they're not going to nag you where your photos are, you know? Well, they probably still will, but.
If your business isn't really where you want it to be, where you know, where you hope that it one day can be, now's your chance to sign up for the Sustainable Photography Program. It's a one-year program where we go through different facets of your business step by step. So we talk about everything from pricing and confidence, mindset, branding, marketing, dream client profile, planning, goal setting. I mean, there's so much we go through, but since we go through it step by step, then you don't have to feel that overwhelmed where you just sign up for something and you never really have the time and capacity to stick with it. And since it's such a loving community, and since we're doing it together and you get so much support, then you have so much accountability to make sure that you actually do the thing. Because I know only too well that when you sign up for an online course that's completely DIY, you might not follow through. I don't know how many times I've signed up for something like that, but this is different because it's not a course, it's a program. It's a place where you not only can ask your questions, but you get the strategies, you get the accountability, you get the follow-up that you need to follow through and do the thing that you might know that you have to do, but that you're too scared and too unsure of how to and if and what and all the things, that you're just not doing it. Let's make sure that your business is even better. Let's do it together. Go to ingridcolnes.com/sustainable to check it out and to secure your spot. I think one thing that I hear a lot is that whole thing of like, what if I don't get enough clients? What if someone chooses someone else? Like, everything with prices is difficult and scary because what if, what if, what if? And to me, it's pretty apparent that they have a scarcity mindset, that they're afraid of, that there's just not enough.
Yeah.
What role do you think your mindset when it comes to these things come into effect in terms of our prices?
Well, one, you actually, for a photographer came to me, I would say just unfollow absolutely anyone in your area, right? Number one, unfollow any other wedding photographer. Who cares? It's not about, you know, so I'm lucky that my name's Jane. I'll be like, stay in your lane, Jane. Like, I don't care about anybody else. I care about me and my clients, and that's it. Because the one thing that, if you start looking at everybody else and, oh, they just got that, you know, this and this and this, and it just starts trickling in. No, just go back, look at all the clients that you got, you know, ask them for referrals, make them your best friends. But also the best part is how about you look in your area or your state, you know, county, wherever you live, how many weddings happened that year? Right, just look at that number. How many weddings happen in a year in the US? You're a travel photographer. 2 million. Go look at how many weddings you actually need. 25. An average full-time photographer does 25 weddings. I think you can get 25.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and then you look at all, you know, like the numbers and you start like, look at the abundance in the world. Look at the abundance of wedding planners. Look at the abundance of DJs. Look at all the amount and they're still in business after 20, 25 years. There's enough clients for everybody. And you can be in middle of nowhere, but okay, well, when you're a business, you do tend to look and see if there's going to be a market around it to support it. That's what, you know, Starbucks says, location analysis, how many people live in that area? Da, da, da. So if your town has 10,000 people and they're all 55 and older, you probably, your town is not your target audience. So where are you looking around? You know, I guarantee within an hour drive of you is a bigger city. Might not be huge, but there's enough people getting married each year if you're a wedding photographer and you only need 25. How are you going to get 25? Pretty simple.
Do you think you need to have that kind of abundance mindset for it to work, for you to be able to stay in business and have a profitable business?
No, you don't need the abundance mindset for that, but you need the abundance mindset if you're saying everyone else is going to get the clients and I'm never going to get clients. Because you don't. Like, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm just happy because my clients just come back to me every year. Mm. I mean, it's everyone has different goals, right? So for me, it's like, I don't want new clients. I want repeat clients.
Yeah.
I want to find the best clients. So for me, my focus was building a sustainable business for me meant I have newborns, I have maternity, I have family. You know, some people just do newborns and maternity. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to have to keep finding new clients.
Yeah.
I don't want to find new clients.
Yeah.
I'll photograph that kid's senior photos. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll photograph them when they're in college. I'll do their headshots for them. I do that. But for me, it's like, where do you want to focus? Some people are great at relationship building and like really making best friends with this, that, and the other. I'm like, I just want to know that like 70, 80% of my clients are coming back every year.
Yeah.
So I don't need the abundance mindset at this point, but you do when you need to raise your prices and you're like, I can't raise my prices because I won't get any clients.
Yeah. But you need to believe it's possible. You need to think that it's going to work because then you make the decisions that you need to make to make it work.
And looking around, don't get me wrong. I've been in those situations. I had photographers coming up, they were very talented and they were charging, I don't know, maybe 10% of what I was charging. It was ridiculous. Mm. I was like, I just had my daughter. So I was very postpartum. I went in the black space. And then I was just like, I don't know. I listened to a podcast on abundance mindset. And it was interesting because they said, well, look around you for things, numbers of things. Like for me, I'm like, I need families and I need, you know, I need families that will afford to be able to pay me. So, okay, well, I'm going to look at my local school district. How many families are there? The other towns around. I mean, I came to like crazy amount, like 50,000. And I'm like, I only need 50, right? Families. And then like, how many babies are being born in this area? You know, and if I need more, I've got New York, got Manhattan, but I'm outside, you know, like, okay, that's a lot. And then I started noticing, oh, there's my client. And then what I did was actually went through my client list of like my favorite clients of being like, where do they send their kids? What are their kids buying? You know, like, what are they doing? And I just started seeing all this abundance around like, oh, they're sending their kids to camp. They have a nanny and they're also sending their kids to, you know, $1,000 a week camp and they have three kids. Yes, they can afford $1,000 photo shoot. So it's all about shifting it in little pieces. But again, unfollow people that aren't charging. Like for me, it was really hard. I was like, you know, it was a tough time. But that was not necessarily me related to, that was all about finding clients and the doubt that I was having. And then do I lower my prices? Do I this? And then I was just like, no, I actually raised them.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get far away from you as possible. I'm just going to be, and I don't care, but I'm not the most expensive, you know, so I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go about it, I think. So we briefly touched on it in the beginning, but when you're starting out, it's really hard to do that without making some investments. Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest to someone who's new, want to start out? They probably already have a camera, but not much else. How can they start making money now instead of waiting for another 3 to 5 years?
Yeah. So, well, one of the things is you've got to realize is it, that's why I recommend someone having a part-time job or not necessarily giving up their day job until they've gotten reached through this where you're investing in it and you're investing in your time and you're investing in certain things. You're investing in a great computer. You're investing in, you know, if you have studio lighting, but you're also investing in the time it takes to build relationships. Right? So that's an investment, right? So you, it's not going to happen every day. You're not going to be like, hey, you know, like I'm new, you know, going to be my best friend, you know, and you're going to refer me a million clients. No. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to build a relationship, do some things for them, follow them on social media, like write a blog post about them. So the investment at the beginning, a lot of it is in the business building time. Highly recommend investing in an accountant. I would invest, my first was an accountant, my second was a website person. And then I'm like, back in the day, we didn't really have social media back then. We didn't actually. You had a Facebook page. I think you had a Facebook mm-hmm. account. I don't think even pages were around. And definitely not Instagram. But, you know, I wouldn't invest too much time of it because you've got a lot of other things to learn. You know, and I will say invest in figuring out your processes, like, and, you know, do you have a CRM? Like, do you have a marketing campaign? How are you going to build emails? How are you going to deliver galleries to your clients? Like, what albums are you going to, you know, invest in those things? But I would also look at whatever industry you're in and invest in education. Okay, here's the deal. Yes, invest in education of the art. But invest in the business side. Mm. I see so many people like they're year 10 and they're still taking, you know, like spending $10,000 on all these, you know, I'm like, come on, you're not going to be, you know, Annie Leibovitz. Like, where's the business side? You're charging nothing. How about you take, you know, have a mentor or business coach or even life coach or anything like that. It doesn't really have to be, you know, photography related, but like someone that's going to really help you. Or therapist, how about that? You know, like I need to raise my prices. Like, how can my therapist, you know, yeah. help you? Like, sometimes I feel like it's like, you got some money blocks here. I can't help you with. But really, it is, you know, accountant and lawyer. You know, outsource your lawyer, get your contracts together. Very important. Website, all that SEO stuff, and then I would, you know, depending on, you know, you just got a camera. Are you confident enough? Probably not. Mm. You're never going to be confident enough. Like I spoke to a photographer the other day, she's an amazing newborn photographer, well known. She's like, I have imposter syndrome all the time. I'm like, how can you have imposter syndrome? And she does. Everybody, I think it's people are always going to doubt themselves. So the more that you can focus on the business side and seeing if it is going to be right for you sooner rather than later, because guess what? You can always second shoot for somebody. You can get your passion of weddings and photography by being a second shooter and likely making more money by second shooting for someone. You know, my intern, she was one time 2012, she interned with me and she was like, I'm not running my own photography business. And then second shot for a wedding photographer. She's still doing it. And so she just, you're like, there are other options out there that people can do. You don't have to start a business right away.
Yeah. I think maybe we're too impatient in the beginning. We want everything to start flowing right away, to make enough money right away. And then we're not necessarily willing to invest what it takes to have a professional business. It's more like right. a hobby that you're trying to charge more than you really should when it's a hobby, but not enough to make it really appear professional.
Well, it's also, again, like new... I mean, I don't know when you started. I started in 2010 full time. And I think photographers nowadays have it a lot harder than we did. A lot harder. Because there's a lot of bad advice out there. And they see a lot of other people undercharging. We didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have Instagram, Facebook groups. We didn't have all that information. We had Google. And by the way, Google ranked you pretty based on domain ranking. So, you know, 2010, someone's going to have been in business a long time. And by the way, their prices are profitable. Nowadays, you can look on Google and like someone's got on prop, they're really good at website design and they're ranking high. And that's, oh, that person is number two ranking in this area. They must be profitable. Nope. So I'll give newer photographers a little bit of a break there. But I think it's assessing it. One time I listened to this podcast woman, she doesn't run it anymore. It's called So You Want to Be a Photographer. And she said it's actually 5 years until like, so she was like, in an ideal world, you do this on the side for 5 years and then it can be a sustainable business.
Yeah.
Which looking back on it, you know, because I did invest a lot of money back in my business, even though it was profitable. I'm like, okay, well, I'm investing in Google ads. I'm investing in, you know, marketing collateral. I'm investing in, you know, someone to write my blog post because I don't know how to write SEO blog posts, you know. So, yeah. I mean, it's all about building a sustainable business. It's different if you're like, hey, I just want to do this for a few years. Completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been talking about having a sustainable business, a lasting business, and money and finances is pretty key to having a sustainable, lasting business. So are there any habits, anything that you would recommend someone taking on early and just stick with to have the best possible business?
As in habits for spending money or like around mindset of money?
Can be either, whichever you think is important.
That's interesting. I think, again, an accountant, they're going to annoy you and hire a bookkeeper. I mean, my bookkeeper and accountant, like they're in the same office. I hire both of them together. And it's like, they'll annoy you every month. What did you spend this on? Did you really need that 15th wrap this month, Jane, for a newborn shoot? So really trying to assess, just knowing your numbers along the way, knowing, you know, and again, if you're seasonal, like I'm seasonal. So I have a second business that different branding for headshots because family photography, no one wants to do it in my area during January, February, March. And it's very good for headshots during that time. So figuring out, yes, I don't want to do headshots. I don't love headshots, you know, this, but it pays the bills. It pays the studio. And so I try and like, you know that it's seasonal. And then if you know your business has a seasonality, just don't spend it all on Black, you know, over here on Black Friday, the sales are crazy. And then people are like, I have no money in January. And you're like, well, you just spent $20,000 on new gear and you didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, so be mindful of the sales, but be mindful of the ebb and flow of your business. And also definitely get, I used to say 3 months business savings account. Like now I say six because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And well, the timing for me, well, I still would say six. I had just renovated my studio. So like half of my business savings were gone and then I had to refund and then I had no shoots for like 3 months. So still a bit have PTSD from it. So I had nothing, right? So I had no income that I could draw on. But really, you know, trying to build your income enough to have that emergency. What happens if you needed surgery? What happens if you needed, you know, like to take time off because someone that you love is sick? Right? Have to have that. Or you get pregnant. And the best, like one tip that I would say is when you get the money for a shoot, don't spend it until the shoot's over. So put it in a separate, you can have where your, it depends on your business bank account. So I would have my, I only have two, but I'm also like weird about money. So like, I know where the money is. Like I would never spend a deposit or, and I would get paid the day before the shoot for mine. So it's 50% down, 50%. I did not spend it until it was delivered because what happened, you know, and especially wedding photographers, oh, we broke up. Okay. You know, like, so can we have our refund back, our retainer and our 6 months and whether or not legally or not, you still want to be able to like not spend it. So working out enough in advance so you don't spend it. And then what I like to do is put 30% away for income tax, 30% away for, you know, costs of my business, and then 30% is, you know, I can spend. But I'm also an S corp, so it's a little bit different, but it's not all coming to me, right? It's like, oh yeah, I did a $1,000 shoe. It's great. I'm just going to go spend $1,000. No, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely can't do that. But yeah, that was great. And I think it's good to have a good overview of the money that you get into your business and what you should and shouldn't spend it on. I think that's really important. It's so easy to just think of that money as yours and spend it while you really shouldn't.
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember the one year I bought the Canon 5D Mark III, and I was like, and then like 3 months later, they announced like the Mark IV coming out. I'm like, I'm going to wait. No, wait. Do you know how long I waited? 8 minutes on Amazon. I was like, I'm going to wait. Yeah, no, I couldn't wait. But you know, it was for me, it was an investment because I could use my, you know, Mark III as a backup camera. I still needed a camera, but didn't really need that right at that moment. I had enough money. It was fine. But definitely can prolong things unless it's impacting your business. Same thing with like a computer. If your computer is a dinosaur and donkey dying and it's taking you forever to edit, time is money.
Yeah.
Upgrade it.
That's also very true. Yeah. You need to be mindful of what you need and what's worth investing in.
Yeah.
For most people, it's easier to spend money on camera equipment and it's harder to spend it on maybe the things that's actually going to get you a step further. Like you said, education, web design, an accountant.
But even computers, one of my very good friends, we're in this building and she's a photographer and she has this donkey old laptop. And I was like, you got to get a new laptop, you know, because something's like not working. Something happened. And then she had to like get memory. I was like, anyway, she had three shoots basically where she lost. And then showed up with a brand new mirrorless Sony. And I'm like, well, where's your computer? And she was like, I still got the old one. Mm. I'm like, okay, but you just had to pay $3,000 for those shoots because you lost their images. So what's the deal?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely computers, please. And backup.
Yeah.
Spend on backing up, spend on backblaze. You got to back up those images.
It's really important.
The unsexy stuff, basically. Yes.
The important boring stuff. Yeah, definitely prioritize those. I agree. So where can the listener go to learn more from you and to check out your software?
So my website is just janegoodrich.com. And, you know, I'm at Instagram at jane.goodrich. And then my software is Pixello. It's Pixello.com. And our Instagram is just at Team Pixello for Instagram.
Thank you. I'll be sure to add those to the show notes so that they're easy to click.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much for wanting to talk with me.
Thanks for having me. This has been great. I love talking pricing and mindset.
Me too. It's one of my best things to talk about. So much fun. Money and pricing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
You just listened to an episode of Sustainable Photography. Please share this episode with a photographer you care about.